Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. We're going to get this meeting started. All right. Good morning, everyone. If you can silence your mobile devices, please. Today is April 1st, 10:01 a.m. There's a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join. Item number two is to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number three, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. If you can all join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving right along to item number four is public comment. Public comment is welcomed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment is again welcomed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment in the courtroom today? Not seeing any, we're going to move right along to item number five, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for April 1, 2025 meeting. County Manager Osborne, are there any changes to the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, we would like to move item number 11 to be at number 10, that is telecommunications week.
Okay.
That's it, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the agenda today, sir?
I do not, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I move to approve today's agenda with the noted order change.
A second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Item number six is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the March 4th, 2025 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about those minutes?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thanks.
How about public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes of our March 4th, 2025 meeting as presented.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
I do not, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I actually did have a question about one element of the personnel policies. I don't know if we want to pull that or just ask the question now, or
I say go ahead with the question.
Okay.
Austin Osborne, for the record, I think what you do in the consent agenda is you would move this item down to the regular agenda and then you would hear this item entirely. I certainly welcome Mr. Brown's comment if I said that incorrectly.
Mr. Osborne correctly stated the procedure to take comments on that particular item.
Great. Then I, if it's all right, Mr. Chair, I'd like to pull number two for discussion. I'm fine with the rest of the consent agenda.
Okay. County Manager, where are we going to stick that?
Subject to where the commission would like to. If you would like that to be earlier in the agenda, we could certainly just put it right after number
10.
The new number 10. That might be ideal.
That works.
Okay.
Okay, is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve item one, sub-item one of the consent agenda.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number eight, which is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports, and kick things off with the Sheriff's Office today.
Commissioners, good morning. Sheriff Cullen for the record. I do have one thing, and I'll keep it brief. I wanted to publicly thank Stacy York once again for the grant opportunity that she did for us, which allowed us to get the Intercept Tech 84 body scanner in at the jail. It's been put in position and is just awaiting a little bit of training for the deputies, and that thing will be up and running And if you're not familiar, the body scanner basically is just that. It scans a person's body to make sure there's no contraband of any kind whatsoever coming into the facility. And there's a lot with all the liability inside the jail. It's one of those technological advances that keeps us, you know, from getting into too much issue in the jail. So just wanted to thank Stacy for her hard work in getting that grant for us. And it's a great addition to the jail and to the staff over there. That's it.
Thank you, Sheriff. I'm sure some people have questions, but I assume that's just not an x-ray?
No.
Or that would be an x-ray that you can see if they're sticking drugs somewhere?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Fair enough. Thank you. All right. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving right along to the Fire Protection District.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. Just a couple of brief updates is we'll be doing more pile burning out in the Highlands area starting tomorrow with the wind dependent. The snowpack's going to allow us to hopefully burn off all the piles we've had built up for years. So we're going to get ahead there. In addition, we're going to put in burn restrictions May 1st. So we're letting everyone know that as open burn permits that you have until May 1st to get that burning done, and then burning restrictions will go into place. And lastly, in addition to the $356,000 generous donation we received from Switch to purchase specialized equipment for lithium batteries, we recently sat down and we're in discussions now, and they're looking at options of purchasing a ladder truck for the fire district. So that's very exciting. This is coming in demand of the building they're building and the heights out there, and our ladder truck simply can't reach it and is getting dated. So more to come there, but very exciting move forward. And I'll answer any questions you may have.
Great news, Chief. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
Do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Again, thanks for sharing the great news. How about Public Works?
Nothing new at this time. I have an agenda item.
Thank you, Jason. How about Operations and Projects Coordinator?
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects. Start with 800 South C Street, Bullion Building. Transfer switch was installed. Next step is going to be the placement of the backup generator and pulling the conductors through to the building. Short outage is going to be anticipated with that. Also, the site improvements are being scheduled for sometime during April. We're working with the tenants of that building to coordinate the site work with parking and also the outage to minimize disruptions to them. Number two, Mark Twain Community Center. We just received 50% progress plans and specs on Friday. We removed several features from the building. We really worked to try and minimize the site work to the extent possible. We do have an updated opinion of probable cost, putting it at about $1.6 million or $344 per square foot. So we have had some significant gains in cost savings. Staff is reviewing the submitted progress plans. Project is currently on schedule, and the 100% set is due on or about April 24. Number three, the TRI Center public restroom remodel. We received the 100% plan set for final review. Current opinion of cost on that is $222,000 or about $206 per square foot. Project remains on schedule with a projected bid publication date of May 5 and a bid opening date of June 2nd for a presentation to the board in June and possible award of contract in early July. Last item is Lockwood Senior Center. Construction remains on schedule. Building is dried in. Interior work is underway. We successfully located an alternate supplier for the main switchboard electrical panel with a much shorter lead time, which will keep the project on schedule. There is an additional cost for this expedited MSB at about $33,000, but we also have a deductive change order for the reconfiguration of the sewer piping for a savings of approximately $21,000. So with all of the change orders on this project to date, the total increase in project cost from the base bid remains at about 1.3%. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Great news, Mike. Thank you for that update. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Moving right along to business development. What about our planning department?
Nothing today, thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. How about our admin officer?
Good morning, Lisa Massell, administration officer for the record. I am happy to announce that our new contract program project manager started yesterday, Chris Trotta. If you just raise your hand. He comes to us all the way from Connecticut. He's got over 30 years of construction management and estimate experience. He's worked on multiple projects throughout the U.S., and he is an honorary member of the American Institute of Architects, and he was a licensed contractor from 2004 to 2015. So we are very grateful to have him on board, and I think he's going to be a great asset to Story County. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Our swing set for the Virginia City Highlands was delivered this morning, even with the ice. The installation is pending on that, but we're working on that, and hopefully we'll have that done pretty soon. And then our initial drafts for our facility conditions and spacing requirements has just recently come in, so we're going to be reviewing those over the next 2 weeks and getting them out to department heads and everybody to look at them and see if we need to make any amendments and see what their final recommendations are. That's all I have for today.
Thank you, Lisa. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thanks.
Awesome. Well, welcome aboard. Glad to have you on the team. Glad to be here. All right, how about emergency management?
Good morning. Adam Wilson, Director of Emergency Management, for the record. A couple quick updates. Our hazard mitigation plan rewrite is completely done. EM staff handled that in-house. That saved the county between $180,000 and $200,000 from traditional where it was contracted. And not to toot our own horn, but I feel like it's a lot better project because we know the county better, so we were able to really personalize it. So a big shout out to all the department heads for their help in getting that done. Next up, we are meeting today to begin planning for the VC Highlands evacuation exercise. That'll take place June 21st. I know that's been a hot topic everybody's been begging for years, so I'm glad to say we're finally moving ahead with that. We have a pretty good plan in place that we're going to start knocking out today. Our planning group has come up with a tabletop in coordination with the Department of Homeland Security. They're going to come out and host a tabletop at the Tri-Center in May, and it's going to involve Tesla and Panasonic and then the Quad Counties and local agencies. So that's a really exciting opportunity. They've also been asking for that for a while. April 21st through the 24th is the Integrated Emergency Management course. That's another tabletop that's focused on earthquakes that FEMA is going to come out and provide for us. That was a grant we got through the Quad Counties. So that invite went out to all department heads as well, and we really encourage you to sign up. If you need help with that, let EM know. April 9th is our local emergency planning committee meeting at 10 out at TRI. There's also a Zoom option. The link is on the website and on the bulletin boards all over the county, or you can call EM and we'll get that over to you. This is going to be an important meeting because we're approving two grants, one for FD and one for SO through the SERC Commission. Those are totaling $32,000 and $36,000, really big grants for both those agencies. And then that group also has to approve the hazard mitigation plan before it comes before the board for approval. So that's an important LEPSI meeting. In addition to the two grants that are going in front of the LEPSI, EM also applied for two grants, one for the road barriers, a little over $17,000 to help offset the fund for the road barrier project, which is still on track to be delivered in early May. And then this morning, we finalized a grant for Stop the Bleed through the Department of Defense, which is training aids for Stop the Bleed courses, which are tourniquets and open wounds and things like that. And that is all I have.
Great. Thank you for the update, Adam. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Adam?
No, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thanks for the update, sir.
Well, great, appreciate the update. Moving right along to the BCTC.
Good morning. Todd Tuttle, Director of Tourism. For the record, we have Tourism Day down at the state legislature today, so we're appropriately addressed to meet most of the delegates and those that are there. I want to say a special thanks for me to the Sheriff's Department, the Emergency Management Department, and the fire department for all the help that we had with the oyster fry. We had a tremendous turnout. Everything went extremely smoothly, and we're very happy with how it all turned out. And I just want to personally say thank you very much for all that you guys did to make that happen. A few things in the background. We had a concert at Piper's Opera House On Saturday night, it was standing room only. The turnout was phenomenal for the Renegade Orchestra. Coming up, we have the Father-Daughter Day and Dance, which will be Saturday, April 12th. It'll be from 11 o'clock to 4:30 at Piper's Opera House. Those dances are all sold out. It's become a very, very popular event for coming up. We have quite a bit of participation from the local restaurants that provide lunches and events for these father and daughters to be able to have a really great day. So whatever you can do to keep a beautiful sunny day coming in that weekend, that'd be really good. The Grand Prix, which will be our 54th, is April 26th and 27th. Chili on the Comstock will be Saturday, May 17th and 18th. The Fast Car Rally will be Saturday, May 17th. And the Memorial Weekend Celebration of Heroes Parade will be Saturday, May 24th. And again, we'll have a street closure on C Street from Flowery to Sutton to accommodate that parade. The other is to keep in mind is the Reno Tahoe Odyssey Relay. That's where they come in early, early in the morning and prepare for that relay race to go through. That'll be on May 31st. That's my report. Any questions?
Thank you, Todd. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Todd?
I do not. Thank you.
Ms. Sherman?
Good, thanks.
Appreciate it, Todd.
Thank you.
Moving right along to the Comptroller's Office. All right. How about Health and Community Services?
No updates today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Recorder's Office?
Nothing today, thank you.
All right. IT. How about HR?
Good morning, Commissioners. Brandy Lopez for the record. First, I wanted to let everybody know that we have finally gotten our onboarding process, part of NeoGov, up and running. We have successfully put two new employees through the program, so we're pretty excited about that. Secondly, I wanted to talk about our health insurance. It's that time of year that we look into health insurance options for the county. To start off, I just wanted to let everybody know that vision and dental insurance was a two-year contract last year, so we didn't have to look at anything there. For health insurance coverage, Anthem first came out pretty high at an increase of 15%, so we decided to go out to bid to see what other carriers could give the county as options. We only got two other bids from Prominence and Hometown Health. Both of these carriers would cause huge disruptions in healthcare providers for our employees. So our lovely people at LP Insurance went back to Anthem for us and talked with them, and we were able to negotiate them coming down to a 10% increase. Then with life insurance bundling, we were able to get them to come down even further to a 9.73% increase overall. So we are happy to say that we decided to stay with Anthem and not cause any disruptions in healthcare for our employees this year. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you, Brandy. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman? Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you.
Moving right along to community development.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Joseph Starnes, for the record, Senior Building Inspector. I just have some brief updates. We're super busy, as usual, in our department. Just give you a little snapshot of last month. We had 157 inspections, and that doesn't sound like a much to a bigger jurisdiction, but that equates to about 46 million square feet of inspected ground that we inspected mostly in the industrial park, obviously. So, and we kicked off 27 business licenses and 41 permits all in 1 month, you know, and that's, and Ashley working by herself, that's a pretty impressive feat. We did finally today, our new administrative assistant today's her first day. So we're excited to have her. Welcome her to our team and really help out. So that's awesome. And then we are congratulating Dan Horton for obtaining his commercial building inspector certificate, as well as Scott Cunningham our code enforcement officer who's kicking butt on the code enforcement aspect. He obtained his planning or his zoning and property management ICC credentials. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. We're doing really, really good, really busy. And for today only, we're giving away free permits. That's April Fool's. No. I'm surprised I was the first one. You should have seen Austin. Probably not the place. But anyway, thanks.
It's on the record.
Any questions? Thank you.
Yeah.
Is it on the record?
Yeah. Official.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No. Thank you.
I'll just reserve one of those permits. Thank you.
Thank you for the updates.
Yeah. All right. How about our PR officer?
Good morning, Julia Moreno Fritz, Public Relations Officer for the record. I want to provide a quick update on the county's communication efforts. In addition to our existing presence on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X, we've expanded to Nextdoor and Blue Sky. Nextdoor allows us to connect directly with residents in their neighborhoods, providing another avenue for sharing important updates, emergency information, and community events. While Blue Sky offers an additional platform for broader public engagement and outreach. And additionally, you probably saw some emails from me last week about Public Service and Employee Appreciation Week, which will be in May from the 5th to the 9th. This is a great opportunity to highlight the dedication of our county employees and the essential services that they provide. Throughout the week, we'll be sharing stories and spotlights across our platforms to recognize their hard work. And to wrap up the celebration, we're hosting an employee barbecue on May 9th in the courthouse parking lot, where we'll present awards recognizing the outstanding efforts of our staff. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you for that update, Julia. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Julia?
No, thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Awesome. Thank you again. All right. How about, since I saw the judges with us today, did you have anything for us today, Judge?
Well, I'm here. I might as well say something. It's always good to ask Jennifer first before you speak. So, Judge Harrington, for the record, I don't get a chance to be over here too often, so since I'm here, I might as well give you an update of what's been happening over at the court. Of course, our numbers are increasing, really increasing. Take, for instance, our traffic cases for all of last year. We had 2,470 traffic cases. Between January and March 30th, we had over 1,300 traffic cases. We're getting more and more work at the court. And that's a lot of why I'm not here. Not that I don't think the commissioners and the county manager aren't very important, but I just usually am on the bench doing my job. What I did want to say is I wanted to thank especially Mike Northern and Public Works and IT for everything that they've been doing over at our courthouse in the past few months. They're installing a generator, and we recently we received a grant to upgrade some of our security mechanisms over at the court, and IT worked very closely with us on that, and we were, everything's done. It was a great project. And also, always, again, thanks to Public Works for keeping our parking lot clear and clean, because whether or not it's snowy, icy, whatever, court goes on. So, but that's pretty much my quick update. And anybody have any questions about anything?
Well, thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Okay. It's good to have you here.
Yes,
I
enjoy being here.
Any questions for the judge?
None, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good.
Awesome. Thank you again. How about the DA's office?
I don't have any update for you, but I certainly would defer to DA Langers, who's with us this morning.
No, I don't have any updates either, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. How about the county manager's office?
I do not. Thank you, Chairman.
All right. How about the clerk treasurer's office?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Hindle, clerk and treasurer for the county. As you know, and as I referenced in our last meeting, we're in the property tax part of our annual schedule. We sent out our delinquency letters a couple weeks ago. people are taking care of past delinquencies, and we're grateful for that. A little bit of highlight for you, as I've done each year. We've had 352 parcels that are delinquent as of the close of the last installment that was due March 3rd. That is about on par for where we've been running. That's good news. We're not seeing a significant increase. We'd love to see a significant decrease, but it does say that the economy and the ability for our residents to keep up on their taxes on their parcels is pretty consistent. That 352 delinquent parcels is 11% approximately of our total parcels in the county. And again, that's been running fairly consistent there. The most important part of our delinquency rates are the one parcels that are delinquent 3 or more years, because those are the ones that are the most problem and have the opportunity for the county to potentially go to a tax sale with those. Those are actually staying pretty constant. It runs less than 1% of our total parcels, and that's again good that we're not seeing those climb at a significant rate at all. So just wanted to give you that update. Also, one other update, which is somewhat good news. As we were planning on the district court schedule, we had a civil case which was going to take up pretty much the whole month of June, and that was going to be a significant challenge on resources that was going to take place probably down in Carson City. There was some discussion of having it up here. That would have been a little problematic for courtroom schedule. That case has been postponed out until October, so we have time to breathe, and you don't have to worry about some scheduling conflicts, at least in the month of June.
Thank you, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Jim?
No, thank you.
Ms. Sherman?
Good,
great. Thanks again, Jim. Are there any other departments or nonprofits that would like to give an update that I did not call on? All right. Thank you, everybody, for those updates. Much appreciated. We are on to item number 9, which is board comment. No action, no public comment will be taken. Start off to my left, Commissioner Gilman.
None, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
I don't have any comments, thank you.
Okay, I just have two announcements. If we can ask for a moment of silence, we lost two residents over the last week or so. Carol Clifford, a longtime BC resident, and Teresa Harrell, a Rainbow Bend resident and GID board member, if I'm not mistaken. So both of those folks passed away last week. If we can have just a moment of silence for both those, I would appreciate it. Thank you. All right, we're going to get on to item number, our next item on the agenda is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval to proclaim April 13th, 2025 through April 19th, 2025, National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. Somebody going to kick this off for us?
Good morning. Elizabeth Spence from Story County Communications. Every year during the second week of April, the telecommunications personnel in the public safety community are honored. This week-long event, initially set up in 1981 by Patricia Anderson of the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Office in California, is a time to celebrate and thank those who dedicate their lives to serving the public. It is a week that should be set aside so everyone can be made aware of their hard work and their dedication.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right, any public comment? Not seeing any. Do we normally read a resolution, or was that it?
That's a good question.
Cheryl, who's the resolution?
The Sheriff's Office, Chairman, if you'd like to ask the Sheriff's Office on the side.
Yeah, was there an additional resolution to that, or was that it?
There is a resolution. That was the presentation. There was a resolution last year.
All right, fair enough. Thank you. All right, not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, you ready to make a motion?
I am. And I just, you know, with that motion, I guess I do have comment. I lied, if that's all right with the Chair. And I'm going to actually steal it from the staff summary because I think it says it very well, but I think it's appropriate that we thank the hardworking staff at our Story County Communications Center for all the sacrifices that they make to create a better and safer world for the public. Their commitment and professionalism is appreciated by Story County, the public safety communications community, and the citizens they serve.
Thank you. With that, I,
Commissioner Mitchell, move to proclaim April 13th, 2025 through April 19th, 2025 as National Public Safety Telecommunications Week in Story County, Nevada.
I'll second.
All right, there's a second, motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, on to our next item item number two from our consent agenda. Consideration and possible approval of the revision of personnel policies 301, personnel office role in the hiring process, 302, source of candidates, open recruitment, promotion, transfer and eligible list of vacant positions, 303, job announcements, 304, applications, eligibility and reduction of applicants, 305, examination process and interviewing applicants, and 306, applicant and employee reference checks. Randy.
So,
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, he just had questions for me.
If that's helpful. I'm sorry, I didn't catch this until my final review last night. Am I kidding? It was my only review of the packet. And so I apologize for not asking this earlier. I was just curious, in a couple of places, there was an elimination of part-time employees for consideration for internal recruitments, and I was just curious what the thought process or rationale was behind that.
So basically, we have intermittent part-time employees and regular part-time and full-time employees. We haven't utilized regular part-time employees since 2018. It's just not something that we do anymore. We like to use the intermittent part-time employees because it's more flexible in where we can put them and when they come in and whatnot. So that's why since we don't utilize them anymore, we're just removing it from the
policy.
Perfect.
Thank you. That was my only question.
All right. Great. Thank you, Brandy. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think we probably have to public comment on a motion. Yeah.
Yes. So is there a public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I move to approve sub-item 2 from the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 10, discussion only. Review and discuss the 2025 through 26 Story County tentative budgets.
Mr. Chairman, if you'll indulge me, since it's budget conversation, I think we might need this.
Crack it open. Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. I will do my best to make it to the noon whistle, since that's usually where I am. Not even a smile. First, I'll be going over the general fund budget for Story County, a couple of countywide items. We have changes countywide. PERS increase this year is an increase of 2.5% for regular employees and an increase of 8.75% for police fire. We are an employer paid agency, which means that every time there is an increase, we split this with the COLA for the employees. Other changes include county general department wide. We have some staffing changes that include 8 new positions, 12 reclasses, 2 eliminated positions, and 1 transfer from one department to another. We have several open county-wide issues. One that you heard this morning is no longer an open issue. The health insurance, we did budget that at 10%, and with what we heard this morning, I don't anticipate really any changes moving forward in that. We're currently in negotiations with the AFSCME union, so there will be some wages and benefit changes as we move forward. Hopefully those union negotiations are finalized before the final budget is approved. If not, then historically I increased the contingency portion of the budget to account for any possible changes that may happen. Our liability insurance countywide is currently budgeted at a 20% increase. However, this amount is not final. We should have a final amount of that before the final budget. And we do have some open department staff changes that have not been finalized. So with that, if I get into the revenue portion, still some general items, I'm sorry. As stated, the budget reflects a revenue increase excess. Let me back up. I'm getting confused. If you look at your summary sheet and go to the back page, you'll see that our revenues over our expenses is approximately $5 million. With those changes that we discussed just a minute ago, I expect that to fluctuate a little bit. We do have some total transfers out of the general fund, which total approximately $15 million. These will be going into the road fund, tri-payback fund, capital project fund, and the grant fund. One not represented on your sheets, or it's partially in the budget, but it's not on your summary sheet, is a $280,000 transfer into Piper's to help with their operating costs. This budget also reflects an anticipated ending fund balance of approximately $15 million, and we will have that tightened up for you again on April 15th with the final tentative approval and then closer for the final approval. I'd like to state at this time that GFOA recommends that an ending fund balance should be between 16 and 25% of the operating costs of the general fund. However, they do state and recommend that smaller governments have a higher reserve, closer to 25 to 50%. Several factors influence this fund balance needs. These are revenue volatility, emergency preparedness, debt obligations dependent on state or government support or federal government support, and capital project needs. We have several special revenue funds to alleviate our emergency preparedness items, such as risk management, compensated absences, our emergency management fund, and our stability funds. We also have several capital project funds to support our CIP. These are equipment acquisition, capital project fund, extraordinary repairs and maintenance, and the infrastructure fund. Since these designated funds cover specific financial needs, our focus for our fund balance is primarily on operating costs. Currently, the budget in front of you reflects a fund balance which is 43% of the general fund's operating expenses, giving us a strong and stable financial position. 43% would also allow us to accommodate our other funds that host operating and staffing requirements, such as the road fund and water and sewer. With that, I'm going to get into the departmental funds or departmental accounts. With that, I'd like to invite if any of our department heads present want to speak during when I talk about their department, I invite them to come up. As well, if any commissioners have specific questions, please feel free to stop me in the middle of the discussions. Our commissioner's budget, which the county manager oversees and is basically a county-wide department budget, has a net increase of 31%. In this department, we have three possible reclasses: a transfer in of a project manager from buildings and grounds, and 1.5 new positions. In service and supplies, we have an open item that will be closed in the next 2 weeks before I come before you again. This is the cemetery support. We provide the cemetery annual funds to take care of the county's obligation for burials, etc. The overall increase in service and supplies for the commissioner's budget is 18.5%. We see increases in travel training, software, professional services, and several small miscellaneous line items. The changes between the department and the tentative budget include updating the budget to be more in line with current actual trends. Professional services, as always, is historically high in this department. This year, we have increases that are providing room for new project managers, which we have decided to contract for this year, lobbyists, and a facilities study, just to name a few of those. You'll also see a reduction in the from the department budget to the tentative budget, where we moved a external government support item to its own line account. Austin, do you want to talk on anything, or does it? No?
I think I'll ask if the commissioners have any questions. Thank you, Jennifer.
Were we good on your budget?
Any questions, Commissioner Gilman?
No questions.
Okay.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good with it. Thank you.
Okay.
I won't stop after each one. This is just your budget, so I wanted to make sure you had no questions. The Clerk Treasurer's Office has an overall net change of 2.5%. In this department, we also have one reclass that we're anticipating. Overall, in service and supplies, there was a decrease of 1.5%. This has to do with bank service charges and professional services. We have a high increase in elections, and this is primarily due to this elections now being a year-round, every-year item. In the recorder's office, we have a net change of 1.5% approximately, and there are two possible reclasses in this department. The service and supplies has an overall increase of 5.5%, and this is due to a need to update several computers within this department. The assessor's office has a net change of negative 4.5%. This has primarily to do with some anticipated staffing changes in the current year's budget didn't come to fruition, which is why there's the decrease. The service and supplies is fairly static. Administration department, or HR, has a net increase of 10.5% with one possible reclass. Service and supplies has a total approximate increase of 4%. And the movement between the department and the tentative budget is primarily to align with current actual trends. Buildings and grounds department has a net change of 6.5%. This is due to the transfer of one position from buildings and grounds into the commissioner's department. We also have a Public Works has one reclass that is split between all of their departments. Buildings and grounds is one of those. Their service and supplies budget has an overall increase of 15%. This changes between the tentative and the departmental budgets is we're trying to work really hard on our building maintenance line item to get some plans and detail out things that different department needs or different building needs are. This will help Jeff and his crew plan their year and know what needs to be done specifically on seasons. Last year, they had a significant capital purchase. This year, they have none, so there is a reduction of 100%. The Sheriff's Department has an overall net change of 11%. Staffing-wise, we are still working on some updates here. We should have a solid plan for you by April 15th. This is when Eileen can come up and talk about her new pretrial service officer. She'll give you some insight into why she needs this and why this is going to be in the Sheriff's Office. So now you can come and talk.
Okay, Judge Harrington, for the record. And as Ms. McCain said, I'm here to talk about Story County's need for a pretrial services officer. So I've actually written this out. Bear with me, please. So what are pretrial services? First, we need to understand that. Each arrestee, when released on their own recognizance or on bail, receives a set of conditions. These are called pretrial conditions. These conditions are structured to hold a defendant accountable for their actions while on release and reduce the risk of re-arrest. Also, and very important, conditions are structured to maximize safety for an alleged victim, their family, and the entire community. Pretrial conditions may require a person to abstain from substances and/or stay away from places or people. The court sometimes orders monitoring devices. These are devices that are actually worn by individuals and provide an alert upon violations such as ingestion of alcohol or drugs or entrance into an excluded area. Conditions may also require an individual to submit to random alcohol and or drug testing. These tests are conducted by law enforcement personnel. So now let's say you're arrested for a DUI charge or controlled substances charge. You're released from jail. The release form orders you not to drink or take drugs. Your first appearance in court is usually 2 or maybe 3 months away. So there's a period of time before and in between court appearances where individuals are required to comply with the conditions or restrictions. Between the court and the sheriff's office, we have been able to handle somewhat the monitoring by way of devices and random testing. But we have come to a point this past year where I feel it just isn't enough anymore. In July, the court launched a program to test the effectiveness of our pretrial orders. We purchased drug testing supplies, and we had sheriff deputies in our court lobby greeting our defendants during their court appearances. And we found out something interesting. On one day alone, almost all the defendants showing up for court were rearrested for violating their court orders. That means they were not abstaining from drugs or alcohol. They had all signed and agreed to their conditions when released from jail. Without ongoing professional guidance and oversight, however, which can be provided by a pretrial services officer, we're falling short. With our growing case numbers, there is just not enough time or law enforcement staff to enforce during the window between release and court dates. Our court clerks are currently managing hundreds of criminal cases. Since the beginning of the year, we added almost 100 more criminal cases. That's just in a 3-month period. As of yesterday, we are at 70% of our entire criminal caseload for the last fiscal year. Of the criminal arrests since January 1st, 60 defendants require pretrial supervision for drugs or alcohol. That's 60 new people added to those pretrial conditions and oversight. Story County has quickly grown to the point where we need a dedicated pretrial services officer. A pretrial services officer will have the skill, training, and ability to focus on and closely monitor defendants. This is not the court's job. My job is to order it, but I can't closely monitor those defendants. That's not in my lane. So having a pretrial services officer, it offers structured supervision, ensuring that each participant meets their court obligations while minimizing the risk for the community. It's a careful balance between respecting the rights of the accused, keeping the community safe, and protecting the integrity of the court system. So, any questions? Do you kind of understand? A lot of times when I talk about pretrial services, people go, I don't understand it. So I hope that helped you. No questions then?
Can I have something? I have something to add.
You're kidding me. Go ahead, Ms. Langer.
Thank you. I feel like I'm in court. I think what has happened to the court system that it was pretty shocking because we had not been checking a lot of these people that were coming into court, and with kind of a makeshift pretrial services group. It was determined, like last week, I'm looking at the amount of people in jail, and 5 people that showed up to court were either had alcohol in their system or drugs in their system. And so we didn't know this before. We did not have this. That alone starts the process of how important it is to have a pretrial services officer. I think the amount of officers on the street, I think the amount of people coming into work every day from outside the jurisdiction, which is about 25,000 people, and more officers on the street has resulted in more arrests, and that we are able to monitor things better community. As the judge points out, the safety to the community is so important. And when you see all these people that are out there with drugs or alcohol in their system, there was really no ability to monitor these people effectively because we just didn't have the resources to do this. So with this makeshift pretrial services that we have been using since, about July of last year, we're beginning to have a safer community. That we have a person that is designated that this is their job. So I really believe at this point, I agree with the judge. When I started out, in my 12th year, as far as criminal cases go, I had 127. And as the judge is stating, last year we had 300. And all of these people that are coming through the criminal justice system, those aren't the traffic cases. As the judge pointed out, they were separated, but the traffic cases are now a majority of them infractions. So when you're looking at the criminal cases, these are all people, a majority of them, that do have drug and alcohol problems, but we were never able to monitor it the way that we're doing now. And the way that there are so many more police officers on the street, that the pretrial, I think that based on 17 and a half years in Carson City, and they had the beginning of the alternative sentencing back in 1992, I think Story County has finally reached a point where, as the judge said, the court was handling it themselves, but it really creates a conflict of interest because she was receiving the results instead of a police officer bringing this information to her based on one of her orders. So I just believe that this is something that is necessary. I believe that we've done the trial run to see that it is absolutely effective. And so I just was adding my two cents to this.
Thank you, Ms. Langer.
You're welcome.
Anything?
I don't have anything to add. I think it's self-explanatory.
And so this would be something that I would certainly fund, but it cannot be under the Justice Court, cannot be under my direct supervision. Okay? Anything else? Any questions?
I don't think so.
Thank you. I feel like I'm close, but if someone could just talk about it a little bit longer, it might get me over the hump.
The what?
I'm just kidding. We're good.
With that, it's important to note that this pretrial service officer is not reflected in the budget in front of you. And while Judge Harrington is technically funding this position will reside in the sheriff's department. Both Justice Court and the Sheriff's Department are under the general fund, so it's not like her department is giving them money. You will see this as an increase to the Sheriff's Department. Under service and supplies, the Sheriff's Department has an overall increase of only 1%. You'll see several increases and decreases in their line item budget. This was mainly to align their budgets to their actuals of where they're actually spending money. The Undersheriff Kern spent a lot of time really paying attention to where things should be, so this budget has a lot of cleanup debits and credits in them. Between the tentative and the departmental budget, there is a few movements. One large one is the removal of garnishments from the expense side and from the revenue side. It was decided that it makes more sense for this to be in a liability account. As small as this item is compared to the budget as a whole, it does skew our revenues and our expenses, which this is not our money. It's more of a pass-through. As for capital in the sheriff's budget, they are requesting to purchase Stalker radar units, which will be placed in around the schools and very other potentially hazardous areas. Community development has an overall increase of 10.5%. They have currently no changes in their staffing. The service and supplies section has an overall increase of 5%. This includes some additional training and travel items. They are also requesting a capital purchase to replace an old large plotter printer that they have. The DA's department has a net change of approximately 28% decrease. This has mostly to do with the elimination of two admin positions, one part-time and one full-time, that it's been determined over the past couple years these haven't been filled, that they are not necessary moving into the next budget year. Her service and supplies remain static. District court is also a static fund. There was a net change of less than 1%.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Can you make a comment?
Sure.
Jim Hindle, clerk and treasurer. Just wanted to highlight one change that will be coming to district court, the one that I emailed last week. The judges have informed us, asked us, but it's more like an order, that they want us to pay a security fee or a security assessment each year starting in this next fiscal year of $25,000. And that is because they expect us to have more trials down in Carson City, and they are expecting to have to add additional personnel or assign additional personnel to the court for our cases in order to provide security on site. That also impacts when they have court up here. They are anticipating that they will be adding one additional security person that will come up with the judge as they come up for court up here and for additional hearings. So that we just learned last week that they would like to increase. That would increase the district court professional services from $150,000 a year to $175,000 a year. And so we'll be getting that to the comptroller to update.
Thank you, Jim. And with that, that is not reflected in this budget, so that will be a change that you'll see on the April 15th. Justice Court has a net change of 17.5%. Their staffing changes include reallocating a part-time position to a full-time position, again, because of the workload issues that she discussed earlier. There is an error on the summary sheet. Her overall service and supplies increase is actually only 4%. I think it states on the summary 48%. Health and Human is a department where it is overseen by Health and Community Support. This is a department where we pay for youth services and other indigent funds. Our parks department covers all of our parks and our pool within Story County. We currently have no staffing changes. The net change in this department is about 13.5%. We have some small increases due to inflation of 8%, and they are requesting a capital purchase to get some new shade structures that are stronger in our windy environment. Business development has a net change of negative 15%. They have no staffing changes. Their service and supplies has a decrease of approximately 36%. Their building maintenance line item accounts for St. Mary's and the Fire Museum. They have a decrease of 53% in professional services, and they have some increases in travel and training. A significant change in this department, which reflects is a reflection of the major decrease, is that the food banks for Lockwood, Mark Twain, and BC have all been moved into Health and Community Services. Communications has a net change of 7.5%. They have three potential reclasses. Their service and supplies has an overall change of 8.5%, mainly due to needing to upgrade some desktop computers. And they have a decrease of 100% in their capital purchases. The current year, they had requested to purchase dispatch consoles, which they're currently working on. Service and supplies has a net change of 37%. They have one potential reclass, again, the shared public works reclass, and they have requested 1.5 new positions. They're both full-time positions, however, one will start in July, and potentially, if necessary, the second will start in January. They have a significant increase in capital purchases. Current year, or next fiscal year, they are requesting $63,000 to purchase a master lock kit, a mobile car lift, and a refrigerant machine. IT has a decrease in their net position of 13%. They have no staffing changes. Their major change is they have no capital projects this year. They are focusing on the countywide fiber project, which is budgeted out of our capital project fund. Comptroller's office has a net increase of 4%. That's to purchase her helicopter, April Fool's. We have a decrease in our staffing due to a portion of one of our employees is being shared with business development. Our overall service and supplies increase is due to travel, training, and professional services. Health and community support, which is formerly our senior center department, has a net change of 39%. They are requesting 5 new positions. 2 of those you previously authorized as the community health workers. The other 3 are for the new Lockwood Senior Community Center. Overall service and supplies has a net increase of 30%. This reflects purchasing the furniture for the Lockwood Community Senior Center, we have a few reductions to be in line with current actual trends. And again, that significant change between the department and the tentative budget are those food banks from business development being moved into that department.
Jennifer, before you move on, you may not know, but do we still have positions that were previously allocated to the Lockwood Senior Center? Is that 3 in addition to what was already there before?
That is 3 in addition. The new center will have a full kitchen, so they need to staff that full kitchen.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Emergency management has an overall net change of 22%. We do have open staffing decisions to make within this department. In the budget presented to you is an overall service and supplies increase of 98%. This included some new AI software that emergency management, fire, and sheriff, and IT, I believe, were looking at. I have since been notified that this is not happening, so you'll see a dramatic decrease in that 98%. Planning department has an overall change of 2%. We've gone back and forth whether we needed a senior planner or did we take them out. A few weeks, months ago, it was decided no senior planners, so we took out all the incidentals and service and supplies. But conveniently, we left in the actual staffing position. So you won't see any changes in staffing because it has been decided to add that senior planner back in, but they will have some increases in service and supplies. So with that, that's all the expenses for the general fund. We have some changes within the revenue. I've been working closely with our clerk treasurer, Jim Hindle. We have decided for the first time, I think since I've been with the county, to change our ad valorem apportionment. It has come to our attention that the 1.77% that's allocated to the general fund, we can allocate that every year where we see that those revenues are necessary, which would in turn eliminate some of the transfers that we do out of the commissioner's budget to capital projects or to roads. We're going to take some small steps because this is kind of a new area that we just don't want to get caught in a position where we took too much money from the general fund. Where we are seeing the changes is we would like to increase the equipment acquisition apportionment from 0.05 to 0.2. We would like to add the road fund and the capital projects fund at 0.2%, which would reduce the general fund apportionment from 1.7719 to 1.2219. This is reflected in this budget. However, it would be officially decided by the board in June when we present the tax rate. This in no way is increasing any tax rate. It's just changing how we apportion it to different funds where we need it. Did you have something to add?
Jim Hindle, Clerk and Treasurer. Just want to emphasize what Jennifer just said. This does not change the total tax rate our residents will be experiencing. So from your perspective as the Board of Commissioners, you can make sure people understand that their taxes are not increasing. But what it does do is it shows the normal movement of funds that we would be making, and it will allow that to be perceived and be accounted for as we go through the year, as opposed to large transfers that show like we are doing something that was unplanned or something that was extraordinary. And I think this makes a lot of sense when Jennifer brought this up as something that we should do. It makes a lot of sense for us to test it this year and see how it works. It would be something that we can adjust every fiscal year, but it is something that once we set it into our tax entities that we are committed to that for the fiscal year and moving those monies as we apportion.
I also want to stress to you that we think that because these new apportionment line items will show up on everybody's tax bill, it's going to cause some kind of disruption. I've talked in great deal with Jim Hindle and with Austin Osborne to get our Julia involved to get the public word out to make sure everybody knows there's no tax increase. We're just showing you more clearly where we're spending your money. Another big change is in the interest distribution. The county has three investment entities that invest our funds and make money for us. We are bringing before you a policy that will change that distribution as it is now to include more of our funds so that that money is distributed more adequately into the funds that need it. Hopefully that will be coming before you in the next meeting.
Jim Hindle, Clerk and Treasurer, not to put any pressure on our district attorney's office, but we do expect that to be on the next agenda.
So at that time when that policy goes before you, we'd be happy to discuss it when it's in front of you. Other changes within the revenues is a doubling of our building permit. In the current year, we budgeted, as we always do, very conservatively at approximately $4 million. We're anticipating this to more than double, possibly more than that. We are going into the next fiscal year not budgeting where we see the current trends being a little bit more conservative, because we do have some things happening, especially in our park, that happen one time, and then once they pay for their permits, they move on. So there is a significant increase in that. I spent some time emailing and discussing this with Pete and the fire chief, making sure everybody was on board with how we are going to move forward with that projection. As Judge Harrington also explained, court is very busy, so you'll see some increases in the fines portion of the revenue. So with that, if you have any questions on the general fund, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, we can move forward into specific funds.
Lynn, do you have any questions?
No.
No questions?
Nope.
Okay, moving into our special revenue funds. As always, I'm not going to touch on a majority of them. Majority of them are very static. Things like the tech fund and drug court, they just run very smoothly and there's not usually any changes. For example, drug court, money comes in, money goes out. It's even. Our road fund is one that is ever-changing. We are starting with a projected beginning fund balance of $2.6 million. We have approximately $5 to $6 million currently planned for capital projects. So that's the reasoning behind putting the road fund into the ad valorem apportionment. In past years, the general fund transferred millions of dollars to make sure that these projects could take place. You will still see a transfer between the general and the road fund just because we have to catch up a little bit and make these things happen. As with the general fund, we have those open issues, the AFSCME contract, the liability insurance. They are also part of the PERS increase at the 2.75%, so you'll see that across that board. We did put a gas tax increase in the budget in front of you to be more in line with our actual trends. And as we move forward, we will probably increase a little bit of that transfer from the general fund, which is now set at $500,000. Wages, we have
sorry,
that one.
Jennifer, just to be absolutely clear, that is an increase in the projection of the revenues from the gas tax and not an increase in the gas tax.
Correct. Yes, our revenues that we collect. Thank you. They have one potential shared reclass with Public Works. They have two potential road employee reclasses, and they have requested that one and a half positions, where one would start in July, and if necessary, we have the funds available for an additional one in January. Overall, their service and supplies increased 4%. This has to do with mainly inflation and some additional training. With their capital projects, this gets a little bit convoluted because in the current budget, we had a rollover this year of the Lousetown Road project that we had to roll over paying the final payment. That wasn't necessarily a project that was planned for FY25. So if we look at just the road projects plan for FY25, that was approximately $3.5 million. So what I'm trying to point out is we don't have a decrease really in our capital projects plan. We have an increase because this year what's in front of you is $4.9 million. So that's approximately $1.4 million increase, which again, that ad valorem apportionment helps make this happen. The majority of those road projects are in Mark Twain for three separate roads and beginning a drainage project. That's not to say that there will not be projects in other areas of the county. For example, we're looking at some projects out in Lockwood that are earmarked within road maintenance, not necessarily the capital project area. With the plan that's in front of you, there is a decrease in the anticipated fund balance to $2.2 million. If we increase and opt to do more of the drainage project within Mark Twain, which is why we would want to increase that transfer from the general fund to not drain that fund balance. Do you have any questions on the road fund? Nope. Okay. Equipment acquisition is a fund that I feel I have to touch on. It's also receiving more ad valorem to try to boost this fund up. The current projected beginning fund balance, as our budget reads, is a negative 67%, or 67,000, excuse me. We will be making up for that in this current year, but the way the budget is presented in taxation, we use our current budget, not our actuals for the current year. We also need to update the interest earnings within this budget. The current plan that you approved in the CIP is spending approximately $2 million on various items through Public Works, the sheriffs, and the county in general in vehicles and large equipment. The plan that's in front of you will have an ending fund balance projected at $1.2 million. Our capital projects fund has a beginning projected fund balance of $5.7 million. We have the additional ad valorem as revenue in that fund, as well as the need to transfer money from the general fund in the budget before you. That's $11.5 million to complete all of the CIP projects that were approved, as well as projects that we expect to roll over. Also in this revenue of the capital projects fund is estimated $1.7 million from Tesla. This will be reimbursing the county for the new signal at Milan and Electric Avenue for their portion. The revenues and the transfers for this fund have been reduced by approximately 19%, creating some usage of fund balance to complete these projects, which is exactly what the fund balance is intended to do. As we finalize the budget, we may have the need to transfer more funds to accommodate future projects, as well as if we find that ongoing projects this year are not going to be completed as far as expected. Projects for the next year, as we discussed in the CIP approval a few weeks ago, are the fiber project, ongoing and completion of the fairgrounds project, Lockwood Senior Center, Station 71, and the Sheriff's Tri-Substation. New projects include the Mark Twain Community Center, upgrading in the Tri restrooms in the Tri building, and beginning a Virginia City jail project. The budget in front of you shows an ending fund balance projected at $5 million.
Jennifer, I have one question about this. There's a line item in the detail for a large computer equipment. It was $3.3 million.
That's the fiber project. Line out IT projects separately.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Infrastructure fund has a projected beginning fund balance at $2.7 million. This is a fund dictated by NRS that can only be used for roads, water, sewer, a community building. Years ago, the county opted to primarily use this for water and sewer infrastructure. This is a quarter-cent sales tax funds this. As well, in the revenues, you will see some transfers from grants. To make things clearer for our single audit at the end of the year, we deposit all of our grants money into the grant fund so that it is earmarked that that's exactly what it is, and then we distribute it to the projects that it goes to. In the infrastructure fund, we have the Gold Hill Sewer Collection, which is a federal appropriation project, and we have a lead siphon project, which is a principal forgiveness loan. So you'll see the expenses coming out and transfers going in to fund those projects. In the plan presented in this budget, that will leave an ending fund balance of approximately $2.3 million. The Tri-Payback Fund, this is always a hard one. We try to anticipate what the projected payment will be for the past fiscal year. I'm estimating that at being $7.1 million. Sounds like it's increasing all the time, but that's a direct reflection of the success of the county. As our revenues go up, so does the amount of our payment because of how the calculations are structured on the revenue that we collect. Currently, this fund receives a portion of our CCRTs, which is our sales taxes, interest, and a transfer from the general fund. We've opted this year to take out the transfer from equipment acquisition as we changed those apportionments on ad valorem. We took that into account. The grant fund has a projected beginning fund balance of $18,700. Again, this grant fund holds all the revenue for our grants and the principal forgiveness loan. Among those already mentioned, we have a few grants for the Sheriff's Office, which is an OHV grant in which they're seeking to purchase a 3/4-ton truck to tow the trailer for their off-road vehicles, a drag grant, which will support the new K-9 program, and Roads to Zero Fatalities which I think I misspoke earlier on the radar equipment, but the sheriff's office is looking to purchase radar message boards for at the schools and other problematic areas. We also have a CCCHP grant, which is going to be used this current next fiscal year to repair the front doors and windows at Piper's. That grant has a match of 20% or $20,000, excuse me. And the ended projected fund balance is to remain static at $18,700. The VC Rail Fund has a projected beginning fund balance of $4.6 million. This is funded by a voter-approved rail tax or sales tax for the rail within Story County. The expenses that are reflected in here are the Story County projects, which have been approved by Story County Board of Commissioners and last week was approved by the V&T Rail Commission. These projects total $2.1 million and include an ADA ramp at the Gold Hill Depot, beginning the design, engineering, and construction of a new roof on the VC Depot, and a land survey project for the Gold Hill Depot. That originally started out as a land survey for a parking study, could involve, as we discussed in past meetings, a property purchase. Since the meeting last week with the V&T Commission, they do have several projects that they'll bring before the Story County Board for approval. Once approved, those will be added into this budget. They're not reflected here. My current estimate that I have is approximately $650,000. Without that $650,000, the projected ending fund balance for the rail fund is $3.6 million. The VCTC budget has a projected beginning fund balance of $3.5 million. This budget was previously approved by the VCTC board. Their revenues include business licenses from C Street, room and tourism tax, special events, interest, and the sale of goods within the VCTC Visitor Center. The revenues increased approximately 4% from the current year's budget. Overall expenses increased approximately 17%, which is mainly due to the beginning of the construction of the Black and Howell Park across the street from their offices. They have had some changes in event structure, with Liquid Blue handling the expenses and revenues mainly of their events. They have a significant increase in their social media advertising, and they do have some decreases within specific line items to adjust with current actual trends. This budget does show that they may be dipping into their fund balance for their capital project, which they're estimating a cost for FY26 at $450,000. But as stated with other funds, those ending fund balances are not meant to grow. They're meant to be spent on various capital projects. And finally, for Piper's, they have a projected beginning fund balance of $13,000. This budget was approved, as you're seeing it, by the VCTC board with also discussion that I work closely with Todd and Leah to get a more accurate budget. Their revenues are decreasing by approximately 22.5%, which is creating a need for the increased general fund support transfer, increasing that by $120,000 to $280,000. They're making the overall revenue increase at 25%. Their current budget, estimated expense budget, is currently increasing 13%. That's all I have.
Thank you, Comptroller McCain, Austin Osborne, for the record. I just kind of recap one element of this is Comptroller McCain explained the abundance of projects that are coming in all these different realms and different departments, and that does go back to that commissioner's budget where we had moved project management over to the commissioner's office, but also had budgeted sufficient funds under professional development for the hiring of quote-unquote contractor employee or employees. So we're going to budget for two of those folks if we find that the number of projects we have exceeds the bandwidth we have of actual folks to implement these projects. So this is a little bit new territory for all of us, not having sufficient funds to be able to put in capital projects at this level. So, you know, we'll have the money there if necessary, but we're monitoring the situation before we end up retaining that third project manager on our team. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, gentlemen?
No questions?
Nothing? Okay.
No. All right. I'll see you shortly.
Thank you, Jennifer.
All right, on to item number 12. Discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of an expenditure not to exceed $9,000 to the Nevada Division of Water Resources for assessed value of taxable property situated within the confines of the groundwater basin located in Story County for fiscal year 25 through 26. Lisa?
Morning again, Lisa Massell, Story County Administration Officer. So this is a request to approve the $9,000 expenditure for the assessment on the groundwater basin within Story County. The assessor and both the clerk have been notified of the assessed values for this year, and it is a bit lower than last year's. The board has the option of paying the assessed amount if the cost of collecting the amount would exceed the value. And this payment would come from the general fund and essentially exempts property owners from the assessment. So in part of collecting it, it would, if we were to do it ourselves rather than Nevada Division of Water Resources, we would be required to do various studies, possible driller inspections, and just the various different associated data collection and management of this.
All right. Nothing else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Yeah, I think we've discussed this in the past, and in the past our decision has been just to pay this out of general funds because it's basically cheaper and doesn't pass that burden on to whoever might be caught up in this assessment.
All right, is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepare to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve an expenditure not to exceed $9,000 to the Nevada Division of Water Resources for the assessed value of taxable property situated within the confines of the groundwater basins located in Story County for fiscal year 2025-2026 pursuant to NRS 534.040 subsection 2.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. All right, on to item number 13, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to authorize Story County Business Development to reallocate $1,500 of budgeted and available funds for the professional services account to sponsor the Western Nevada Development Direct Summit to be held in Virginia City, April 21st and 22nd.
Okay, so Sarah starts for the record. I'm standing in for Laura on this agenda item. So the Western Nevada Development District, or WNDD, is hosting their annual summit in Virginia City on April 21st and 22nd, and the theme this year is Building a Stronger Nevada, and it'll provide attendees insight into rural resources, funding opportunities, the Main Street USA program, and more. So we are requesting authorization for business development to reallocate $1,500 of that budgeted and available funds from our professional services account to sponsor the summit at the silver level. And so the sponsorship level will not only provide support for the summit, but also provide registration to the event for me and Commissioner Mitchell, who are also board members of WNDD. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
None, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman?
I'll just add, so this conference was originally slated to be held elsewhere. The plans fell through. They asked if they could come to Virginia City. We're happy to accommodate them. It'll bring some community leaders from the surrounding area. WNDD does some good work on coordination, infrastructure, grants, and funding. And so, as Sarah mentioned, this is not the funds are available. They're just in a different account. And I'm supportive of moving that over to support this activity.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the authorization of Story County Business Development to reallocate $1,500 of budgeted and available funds from the professional services account to sponsor the Western Nevada Development District Summit to be held in Virginia City, Nevada, Virginia City on April 21st and 22nd of 2025.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 14, is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval authorizing Story County staff to reallocate $32,360.50 originally allocated to cover the cost of an elevator design at St. Mary's Arts Center to instead be allocated to address the structural issues identified in the North Kitchen, moisture mitigation, replacement of radiator controls, and the service of the boiler system at St. Mary's. Sarah?
Sarah Sertz for the record. So I'm requesting authorization for staff to reallocate that $32,360.50. Now that was originally allocated to cover the cost of the elevator design at St. Mary's, but it'll instead be used to address those structural issues that you just mentioned, Commissioner Carmona. So most of these necessary repairs were identified once the flooring project had already begun in the kitchen. And so the county had budgeted $29,000 this fiscal year to replace those floors in the north and south kitchen, and then $125,000 for the elevator design. However, due to delays with the elevator location approval and design, we're not going to spend that $125,000. We're going to take some money out of that account and put it towards these necessary repairs. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. Commissioner Gilman?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize Story County staff to reallocate $32,360.50, originally allocated to cover the cost of an elevator design at St. Mary's Arts Center, to instead be allocated to address the structural issues identified in the North Kitchen, moisture mitigation, replacement of radiator controls, and service of the boiler system at SMAC.
I'll second.
Right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sarah. On to item number 15 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 16, which is discussion only, review and discussion of the 2025 through 26 Story County Fire District tentative budgets.
You want to take it?
Jennifer McCain, Story County / Fire District Comptroller. This is the budget for the fire district. Their mutual aid fund is one of those statics funds, as well as their grant fund, and we will not be discussing either one of those today. There really are relatively no changes there. As far as the Fire General Fund, the budget that you've been presented has a projected ending fund balance of $887,000. Both Chief Longcar and I agree that this is far too low for comfort, so we have gone back to the table and you'll see some significant changes on April 15th. We have agreed that a comfortable level is right around that 27 or 25% mark. As I stated earlier, GFOA, the Government Fiscal Officers Association, recommends between 16 and 25, or for small governments, 25 to 50%. Open items within the fire district are a union negotiation. They're not in full-blown negotiations. They had a option for an opener on the employee union side as well as management side. The union has opted to open wages and their COLA for the current year, so that is not reflected here. Reflected in this budget is the PERS increase of 2.75% for regular employees and an increase of 8.75% for police fire. Again, in these negotiations, we will be taking into account that shared portion of the 8.75. Some possible changes that you may see moving into the April 15th final approval for the tentative budget is a reduction of the transfer from the general fund into their capital projects fund. I've also spoken with Chief Longcar about the ad valorem change in the apportionment, and he may opt to put his capital fund to take a portion of that revenue. As discussed earlier as well, the permits are a big line item in their revenue portion of their budget. We're seeing significant out-of-budget revenues. We've brought that down a little bit for the next fiscal year. Not as low as we have it this year, but not as high as the actuals. For their expenses in their general fund, the wages, we're projecting three new captains, a half a year for a finance officer, and a mechanic position. This will also affect all of their budget line items. Those are reflected in the current budget. Service and supplies, there's an overall increase of 34.5%. Significant increases are within office supplies, equipment maintenance, communications, auto maintenance, tools, building maintenance, and maintenance agreement. There are some just decreases, which are in software and uniforms. They have a capital portion of this budget has an increase of approximately 158%, which equates to $167,000. In this section of their budget, they would like to purchase rescue training dummies, thermal imaging cameras, SCBAs, rescue kit, and with power talk box. Do you have anything to add for your general fund? Their capital projects budget has a projected negative ending fund balance of $75,000. Again, Chief Lunkar and I are in discussions on how we can bring this ending fund balance up to a more reasonable number. However, this fund has had some issues in the past as equipment has been budgeted for and ordered. However, it's taking several years for this to come up to be delivered to us, which means that we haven't paid for it yet. So these just keep compounding every year. Currently, we have five fire apparatuses that are being rolled over to the next budget. This equates to approximately $3.25 million. New requests within this fund are a wildland UTV, a fire prevention vehicle, fire vent training trailer, a equipped truck for the new mechanic, and a Type 2 engine for Station 72, as well as building improvements for Station 75, the new building that they just purchased a month or so ago, including $8 million. And that's all I have for the fire budget, unless you have any questions for me or Chief Lunkar wants to add anything.
Any questions?
Thank you, Jennifer. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I do not. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
I have just one question. It has to do with these capital projects. You know, given the fact that the long lead times and the rollovers, does it make sense potentially to have a more aggressive budget than we normally would, meaning showing a smaller end fund balance with the understanding that it will likely not all be spent? Does that operationally give us the room to, if they do come through, they're budgeted, but with a realization that it's unlikely that everything will come through?
Yes, I'll go ahead and answer that. Jeremy Lunkar for the record. So we did apply, well, basically what our current needs are in the budget right now. That's what we put in there. And we do anticipate there's going to be a multi-year wait for even those. So where it did reflect kind of that low ending fund balance, the odds of us actually taking possession and paying for that equipment is very slim. So we're watching it and trying to coordinate with Jennifer's office on that. I like the idea of bringing the equipment later as we're seeing the things. I don't want to throw too much on there right off the get-go and get too much ordered without actually having numbers come in. I like that stability and seeing those trends personally.
Okay. Thank you.
As well, historically, what we've done and you've approved during this current year is as we get closer to the end of the year and we're more confident that this equipment is not showing up, Chief Lunkar looks at his capital projects and finds things that he can go purchase and utilize that money now while waiting for that equipment to come in.
Understood.
All right. No other questions?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, thank you. Appreciate it, Jennifer. Thank you, Chief. And item number 17 is to recess convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 18, which is discussion only. Review and discuss the 25 through 26 Story County Water and Sewer tentative budgets.
Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. This is for our water and sewer enterprise funds. These are special funds that are treated as basically a individual business. These funds need to use the revenue from the ratepayers to pay for their regular operating daily expenses. With that, we've always had a few issues with trying to grow their fund balances while trying to get their infrastructure built up, which is why we use the infrastructure fund. It's always been a struggle to be able to get to that point where the cost of using water and sewer is taking care of the expense of providing that water and sewer, and where is that sweet spot for the rates for our residents. With that, there are a few open items. It's the health insurance, which we've now solidified will probably stay about 10%, the AFSCME union negotiations. One item in both water and sewer that is not reflected in here are the transfers to USDA for their current bond payments for past infrastructure projects. This may create a deficit of revenue to expenses, which means that we would have to dip into the fund balance to provide those operating expenses, or we would have to look for other places that we could make some cuts and changes. Again, the PERS increase of 2.75% is also reflected in this budget. So our water revenue is from our ratepayers, interest from our investments accounts, and the transfer from infrastructure. Currently, this budget shows an increase of 4% for revenue and an increase of 4% for expenses, which is really nice to have to see that things are increasing at an even pace. For wages and benefits, there is that one shared public works possible reclass, as well as a possible reclassification of an employee that is only split with the sewer fund. We had some minor changes within service and supplies. These include increases in telephone, computer equipment, and building maintenance. We had a significant decrease in external system maintenance. In their capital section of this budget, they are requesting to purchase a backflow preventer test kit. This will bring their projected ending fund balance to $1.7 million. I didn't put on here what their beginning fund balance. If you want that, I can find it and have it for you next time. The sewer projected beginning fund balance is approximately $1 million. Their revenue is also from ratepayers, interest from our investment accounts, and transfers from infrastructure. The increase in their revenue is approximately 3%. Their increase in expenses is amounting to 16.5%. This increase is causing us to currently dip into the fund balance to support those daily operations. As with water, their wages and benefits are one shared public works possible reclassification and one possible employee reclassification that is shared with water. Their changes are increases in telephone, plant maintenance, lab fees, and Sierra Controls. Sierra Controls is an outside contractor that handles the operator portion of operating a sewer plant. It's always been the hope that in the future we would have an employee be able to take that over, and I think we're getting closer. They had a decrease in professional services. Their capital items that they're requesting are a tough shed for storing lab equipment, an auger monster, and a rotor assembly. This will bring their ending fund balance to just under approximately $1 million. If you have any questions for me, that's all I have.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No.
Great.
Thank you. Nope.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You can beat the buzzer.
You still got 15 minutes. Right. On to item number 19, recess convened as the Story County Liquor Licensing Board. Brings us up to item number 20. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for on-sale liquor license. Applicant is Jennifer Stoops at Maddie's Place, LLC. Excuse me, 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Deputy Frank Valdez, Story County Sheriff's Office for the record. Upon additional review of the applicant's background, I found no further information that would qualify as disqualifiers. Overall, no disqualifiers found. Unless there are any questions, that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Deputy Valdez. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
None. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner. Vice Chairman?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Sheriff, any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first reading. Sorry, is this the second reading? Hi, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading for on-sale liquor license. Applicant is Jennifer Stoops, Maddie's Place, LLC, 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
A second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Unanimously approved. Thank you, Deputy.
Good day, gentlemen.
Have a great one. On item number 21, recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board, bringing us to item number 22, which is discussion only. Report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways throughout Story County.
Good afternoon, Jason Worsbicky for the record. Just a couple quick updates. We anticipate a bid opening a week from today for our 2025 road rehab. Currently, there are seven prime contractor plan holders on it, so we're hoping to get some good numbers. Another thing that we've been trying to anticipate that we couldn't do with the previous engineer was address some drainage work underneath the roads on some of these projects. Don't want to put in a new road and then have to cut it open and put in a drain pipe, so we're trying to adjust and move things around to where we can get this pipe in under the ground before the new road goes in, because I don't want to waste any money. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Jason. Highway Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
None, thank you.
All right, Highway Commissioner Mitchell.
I'm good.
I don't have any comments either. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Right. Item number 23, recess convened as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 24, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the Story County Safety Manual, Annex B, Heat Illness Prevention Plan, as prepared by the Safety Committee.
Good morning, Commissioners. Autumn Wilson, Director of Emergency Management and the Safety Director for the record. This plan is due to guidance from Nevada OSHA that was released January 29th of this year, pursuant to NRS 233B.070 that the legislature passed on November 15th of 2024 with an enforcement date of April 29th of 2025. The 15-page guidance is what's reflected in front of you, establishing we have to have a heat illness prevention plan in place as part of our overall safety manual. So you didn't have to repair or review and reapprove the entire manual. We filled it out as an annex. And a huge shout out to Tristan Wadsworth, the EM analyst. He primarily drafted this plan for us. It's been reviewed by the safety committee and the department heads and is ready for your approval.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
How about public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepare to make a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to proceed with approval and adoption of the Story County Safety Manual, Annex B, which is a heat illness prevention plan.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Adam. All right, before we get on to item number 25, we're going to take a quick 10-minute recess for those of you that need to drink Clay's wine before we go over bills. See you all here in about 10 minutes.